There's a theme running through all three of our readings this weekend. Did you detect it? If not, let me give you a short reminder. We have Moses in the first reading, and he is told that if he keeps his arms raised with his staff in hand, they will have the better of the battle against Amalek and all his guys. And so what does Moses do? He keeps his arms raised, but after a while, he gets tired. And so they put out a little stool for him to sit on, and the guy stands on either side of him holding his arms up. If you've ever tried to hold your arms up for a very long time, it gets a little painful. In our second reading, St. Paul says this, "Remain faithful to what you have learned and believe." And goes on to say, "Be persistent, whether it is convenient or inconvenient." And in our gospel, this widow who wants a just decision keeps nagging the judge until he'll give it to her. So what is our theme? Well, children, our theme is not nagging your parents until you get what you want, but rather being persistent in our relationships. Number one, in our relationship with God. We must be persistent in prayer and in that ongoing relationship. And we often start with very good intentions. We say, you know, I'm going to pray every day this week, or I'm going to pray at a certain time, and then kind of gets skewed, doesn't it? I was on retreat a couple weeks ago, and I had wonderful time for prayer. We didn't even have cell phone service where I was, which was great. And so there wasn't really anything to do but to pray and read and take naps. It was wonderful. But by the end of the week, about Thursday, I'm thinking, you know what? I got to go back to the real world. The real world isn't like this. I need to make some type of resolution to make sure I keep this momentum going. So I say, I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to make sure I get the whole holy hour in, that I pray my office on the time, the prescribed times that I'm supposed to. And you know what? By Tuesday, it was all shot. Why? Because real life comes in. But I think we often use that as an excuse. We've got to take real life by the horns and control it. And it really does boil down to a decision on our part, whether to take control of our lives or not. I remember on Tuesday afternoon just feeling totally overwhelmed coming back into this rush of activity and all the stuff that had piled up for 2 weeks. And so I went over here to the chapel. And I sat down and I made myself sit there for an hour. And you know what? I was filled with distractions, thinking about all the things that had to be done. And I left filled with distractions. But number one, I had the consolation that I had spent that time with Jesus, that I had surrendered just a piece of myself to Him. And number two, I'll tell you, the rest of the day went a lot better. We must be persistent in our prayer. Most of us have prioritized God in our heads, but we often don't prioritize God in our calendars or in our pocketbooks. St. Paul says that we must be persistent, that is faithful, whether convenient or inconvenient. And it's awfully easy to be prayerful or to be a good steward when it's convenient. But real love is when it's also inconvenient. Imagine, if you will, you were a married person and you have a newborn baby. And the baby's crying at night. And you roll over and say to your spouse, "Would you go get the baby?" And they say, "No, it's your responsibility." Now, one night of that, you might say, "Okay, well, they were just in a bad mood, or maybe even not even fully awake. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt." But if they did that for a year, would you feel loved? No. Because love requires being consistent even when it's inconvenient. Now, not only do we need to be persistent in our relationship with God, but I think one of the things we often forget is that God is persistent in His relationship with us. You know, we tend to think of God's love for us in human terms. And often love is inconsistent in human terms. But what about God? Well, guys, he loves always. He's every moment of every day there loving us, actually holding us in existence. One of my favorite verses from the Bible is Isaiah 49:15. It says that even if a mother should forget the child in her womb, God will not forget you. Now, most of us would think it'd be impossible for a mother to forget the child in her womb, and rightly so, that's what's implied. But even if that happened, God would not forget you. Ephesians 1:4 says that he chose us before the foundation of the world, and his love transcends even time. Meaning, before God even created the universe, the sun and the stars and the planets and the people, he was thinking about you. Isn't that a huge consolation? To know that from all eternity, that God has been loving you consistently, never for a moment even not thinking of you. And not just you as a collective body, but you individually, your talents, your gifts, the way that you will change lives in this life. God is consistent and faithful to us. But it is not only our relationship with God and his with us, but also our relationship with each other. Notice that Moses in this first reading needed help from two of his companions. They had to hold his hands up on each side. I was at the gym a couple weeks ago, and Father Brian Nelson, God bless him, he made me come and work out with his personal trainer. Usually I just do my own thing. And that man, boy, he killed me. And he made me do this exercise where you kind of bend over facing the ground and you take weights in each arm and you hold them up like at your sides. And I could do it for a little bit, but oh my gosh, you know how hard that is? And I'm imagining Moses, he's in the midst of a war, which isn't a short thing, and he's asked to hold his hands up in praise of God to heaven. And so he needs help. And brothers and sisters, it's true in our spiritual lives as well. We cannot be persistent and faithful in our relationship with God or with our relationship with each other without help. This is the importance of being part of a prayer group of some kind. Whether it's coming to our adult education classes on Thursday night, being part of the mother's group on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, or coming to our men's group, or going on the retreat this weekend for Capen's men, we have to have the support of other people in our prayer. We can't do it alone. You know, I also think about Moses and his history. Remember, Moses is the one that led these people through the desert for 40 years, right? And over in these stories about Moses, the people of God rebel. They're disobedient. Moses says, well, God wants you to do this, and they do something else. Now, if I'm Moses, and I'm standing there on that hill overlooking the battle, and I'm supposed to hold my hands up so that my people can stay alive, and I'm looking down at those people, and I'm thinking, well, there's Bob, and there's Bill, and there's, you know, Jim. And man, they were pretty rebellious last time that I asked them to do something. And remember that pain of holding up those weights on the side? And I don't know about you, but if I was Moses, I'd be thinking, maybe I'll let my arms down for a few minutes till they get through those guys, and then we'll pick it back up. You see, love, faithfulness, prayer, it's persistent even when maybe we don't love or like the people that God has given us to pray for or love. Paul says at the end of his reading, be persistent whether it is convenient or inconvenient. And then he names three things that we're supposed to be particularly persistent about. He says, convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience and teaching. Convince, reprimand, and encourage. So can you do those three things? Can you convince somebody of the truth? I would be willing to bet most of you, if I stopped you after Mass and asked you one question about your faith that was challenging, you wouldn't know what to say. Other than, well, the Pope says it, so that's the way it's going to be. Could you convince somebody at your workplace or at school or out in public of the truth? You know, every Thursday night we offer classes to help you do that, and most of you don't come, and some of you could. Every Christian should be able to convince other people of the truth. And the truth is our faith. We are also called to reprimand one another. And that's not popular in our culture where it says, you do your thing and I'll do my thing, right? And yet it is a Christian duty. Not to go around judging everybody and looking at everybody down our nose, but yes, to reprimand one another. On Friday, I ran across one of our employees. I was sitting in the office and they walked by and they looked kind of glum. Didn't, you know, want to read into it too much, but they walked past again and still looked down. And I simply said to them, it's okay, Jesus loves you. And they began crying. And of course, in the back of my mind, being a guy, I'm thinking, what did I do now? But they said to me, Father, one of my family members just lost their job after many years. And we don't know what they're going to do. So thank you for that. And you know what? I didn't know what their situation was. But I offered them a few simple words. Words that any of us can say to one another. It's okay. Jesus loves you. And yes, you can even say it at work. If you get fired, come to me, I'll give you a job. We need to encourage one another. Convince, reprimand, encourage. This week at home or at school or at work, I want to encourage you to, number one, prioritize your prayer. Don't look at it as a battle, although it is, but in the end, it is a choice to make God first in our lives. And remember that authentic love isn't always convenient. And it may be an encouragement to you remember that God's love is first for you. It's not feeble like human love, and it transcends even time. It's always there and always available, just waiting for you to respond. And once you've experienced that exchange of love and relationship and of faithfulness with God, remember that you are called to share that with one another by convincing, reprimanding, and encouraging, and that we all need help to do so. And we are called to do it even for those that we do not love or like.